A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the Tuesday class, 27 October 2020. So we'll continue with our Heart Sutta second edition sharing. We are at page 247, sub-item 6.6. The title of today's sharing is very interesting. We are going to discuss the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negative mental states as taught by Lord Buddha. So these five ways are very useful. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention. Then we will have our half an hour of silent awareness based meditation. We will off the light so that you can have your meditation. As usual, relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to know anything, don't do anything, just maintain awareness. Allow the mind to become silent, quiet. Whatever thinking, let it arise. Do not suppress. Do not try to control. Don't do anything. Don't arise the thinking. Just let things be. So that the true mind can be realized. When all of the subconscious thinking or sankhara activity or heedless thinking slow down, finally it will cease. When it ceases, you will realize the mind without thought, that is your true mind. The mind that is without thought is peaceful, tranquil, still, without anything. When you are in that state, that mind is beautiful. That is the meditative mind. That is the mind that can awaken, can understand, can develop wisdom. So in that state, no energy is lost. You are not lost in thought. You are not creating emotion, sankhara activity, mundane mind state. You are with the true mind, experiencing the awareness nature, that clarity. That nature is just aware, nothing else. It is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. To meditate is to realize that. Then you will develop the good understanding of who you are, what you are, and what meditation is. So that pure nature, that silent mind, that true nature, true mind, you have to realize it. Then stabilize it until you understand what that thing is. From there, the movement into the thinking process, see it very fast. The thought keep on arising, coming. That's why very few people can really meditate. They have to either focus, concentrate, or fix the mind so that the thought doesn't move. That is not meditation. That is concentration, focusing, controlling, suppressing, trying to force the thought not to move, not to think. The real meditation is not like that. The real meditation is just a free mind without movement, without control, without suppression, without the thought trying to do anything. That's why thought-based meditation is so much different from awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based, you just aware and finish. And to be aware, there must be no thought. So understand this and just do. Turn to page 247, the last section, 6.6. According to Lord Buddha, there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negativity of mind state or mental states. So these are the five very important ways to help us overcome unwholesome thought, or sometimes they call it negative mind state and wrong thought. So wrong thoughts are thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that will condition your suffering and misery. Where they are wrong thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and your fear, insecurity, etc. So these are all wrong thoughts. Then they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how you become heedless. You become evil. So the danger of arising this wrong thought is very, very important. When you are aware, you are mindful, when you have trained your mind, you become sensitive. Then you understand what constitutes wrong thought. Wrong thought are thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And greed, hatred, and delusion is a very, very wide topic to develop understanding. That's why in the cultivation, we need to develop all this understanding, what constitutes evil. Then how do we overcome evil? Then how do we develop wisdom to free our mind? So wrong thought is the first thing that we need to overcome or develop the understanding to abandon, to root it out, so that we are always heedful, mindful, arising only right thought, no more wrong thought. And this is important is because whenever you arise wrong thought, it has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It will make you evil. That's how it conditions you into karmic negativity. Yeah, these are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil. So that's the reason why in cultivation we need to understand clearly what constitutes evil. Then we need to train our mind to develop mindfulness or awareness, to be mindful, to be aware, to be sensitive, so that we can see them, so that we can be aware of them, so that we are sensitive towards all this wrong thought or negativity or mind state. Whenever they arise, we have the sensitivity of mindfulness to be aware. Then the Buddha also taught us the four types of right effort to constantly help us to purify our thought. The first two right effort is to do away with the wrong thought. The Buddha said, whenever you are mindful and aware that the wrong thought or unwholesome thought has arisen. So let's take for example, suddenly you have become angry. There is anger. It's a wrong thought. Why? Because this is an evil root. This is hatred, anger, emotional negativity, like envy and jealousy. When you have them, you become evil. You will arise evil action and speech. Your thought consists of mental intention. If mental intention has the evil root, evil condition, wrong speech and wrong action, and wrong livelihood. The way you live your life depends on your thought. So this understanding is very important. So if we have this ability to be mindful, to be aware, to be sensitive, then according to the Buddha, the first thing you have to do is when you are aware of this wrong thought, and it has arisen, you have to arise the right effort to abandon it. How do you abandon it? This is where the teaching comes in. The Buddha said there are five ways to abandon this wrong thought, to root out this wrong thought. Now I will zero in on the teaching. The first way, according to the Buddha, is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought so that this wrong thought will cease. Take for example, anger. When you have become angry, emotional, violent, is an evil root of all evil. Then what must you do? If you can reverse that thought process by reflecting or thinking of the direct opposite wholesome thought, which is loving kindness or metta, then you cannot get angry anymore. You can only do one thing at a time. When there is love, there can never be anger. Just like when you think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, metta, metta, metta. So metta is universal love, loving kindness, well-being to all. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May all beings throughout the entire vicinity or existence be well and happy, well and happy. When you have this wholesome mind state, you can never be angry. So that is the easiest way to overcome the wrong thought or the unwholesome thought. Then when you are having this greed or selfishness, then you have to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, like contentment, generosity, so that you will not arise those wrong thoughts, the selfish thought, the greedy thought, the craving, the desire. They come through all these evil roots of greed. In Pali, they call it loba. And anger or hatred is dosa. Then the other one is moha. Moha is sakyadity, self-delusion, wrong view with regards to the atta, the self, a permanent unchanging entity. So this first way is only useful for temporarily subsiding the wrong thought, because it is still thought-based. We still think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, except it's a skillful means to actually help you to develop the ability to be in a mind state that is the opposite, which is not the wrong thought. That's why you arise the opposite wholesome thought or right thought. Then let's say when there is fear, anxiety, you develop the faith, the opposite wholesome thought, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, faith in your own nature, your own understanding. So all these are skillful means for you to develop them. Then the first two ways are still thought-based. So this first way is temporary, not a complete solution. It's not something that will fix your problem. You know, every time you get angry, you go and radiate metta. Then after you radiate metta, you come back. How? You have to live life. You have to confront life. Again, you get angry. So every time you have to run away and do metta or think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. So this one is not so feasible. not so practical. So the way I look at it is, maybe when you are in the office or when you are in the midst of society, going through your life, career or what, and all of a sudden somebody make you angry or fearful, or that greedy thought arise, you should immediately reflect on the direct opposite wholesome thought. In the office is easy to do, Then in the midst of life, when you're alone, when you're not interacting with people, when you hear something or when you see something, then if you are mindful, aware, you are sensitive, then you can develop this awareness. Then immediately to overcome it, you have to have more and more metta. That's why that book, Metta Bhavana, is a very important book. If you have developed this metta before, stabilize it until you become very skillful, and then you can do it. Then immediately that metta will arise. You wish that person well-being and happiness. Then you realize the evil roots seldom arise or hardly arise. Even when they stir and wants to erupt, means the anger has arisen, you can abandon it because you have metta. You are so skillful. You have trained yourself. And the other very useful and practical use of this particular way is when you are confronting, let's say, a fierce dog or some animal or even snake or what. So when there is fear, because they bark at you, they want to attack you. So what must you do? You must think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That's how you radiate love, you radiate metta. And this one you can only do if you have cultivated metta before. If you have not cultivated metta, you can't. That's why a lot of people say, or give advice very easy. Hey, when you see something fierce attacking you, like a fierce dog, or a python or a cobra, or even tiger or whatever, when you are in the jungle, is it? Don't panic. Sit down there, read it, metta. I tell you, that fear is so intense. If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, and you are not training yourself in metta, there is no way. Instead of metta, that fear took over, overwhelm you, and what you rattle, may I all broken on, be well and happy like parroting on it, no feeling at all. So that is to remind people that you must cultivate, you must develop the ability to do it before it happens. The other way is to have wisdom, understanding. When you have wisdom, understanding, and you have developed the ability to be mindful and aware, the fastest way and the best way to overcome this type of fear is just silent. Silent your mind. Do not allow the fear to arise or intensify. Just silent your mind. Then if you have developed some form of metta, you can relate. May you be well and happy. Then if you have developed until it's the third stage, then that metta can just flow out from your heart. Then the beings actually, they can feel you. Even the dog, they will stop to bark at you or attack you. You only have to look at that guy, the dog, or that snake or whatever. Don't move. Don't panic. Don't do anything. Just silent your mind. Because they can sense your fear. Always remember that. You have fear, they will attack you. they have this ability to sense your fear. It's like when a person is fearful, we can know that the person is full of fear, that, or overwhelmed with fear. That. So likewise, the animals or the snakes, they are more sensitive. So what you should do is silent. Just look at them. Don't allow your thought to arise. When there is no movement of thought, there is no fear. I realize that is the best way, and I have confronted many dogs before. Until I'm very skillful, I know what to do with dogs. But don't try to be a hero. Before you develop the ability, don't. The most important thing is to develop wisdom, understanding, and mindfulness. Then you don't really need to make use of this thought to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. But you have trained yourself to be heedful, to be mindful, to most of the time arise only wholesome thought. Then it's very natural, very easy for you to overcome them. Technically, you don't need anything. These five ways, especially the first four, they are useful initially when you have not developed the wisdom. And the first two way is just thought-based. So thought-based are temporary solution. They are not a permanent fix. But the third way and the fourth way are meditative way. And when you develop them, you develop wisdom. That's why after you have the wisdom, you will not have any more problem. Then you will know how to actually overcome whatever wrong thought that arise. The fifth one is not so useful. The fifth way, the Buddha said, if after he has taught you all the four ways, and you still cannot develop it, then he cannot teach you more further. So the only way to do it is the fifth way, is on the, you can see the arrow that I use the pen. So this is the fifth way. The fifth way is with teeth clenched and tongue pressed against the palate, the Buddha said, one should, with one's mind, restrain, root out this unwholesome thought, and in doing so, this evil or unwholesome thought of greed, hatred, and delusion will dissolve by itself, and the mind will inwardly become settled and calm, composed and concentrated, means in samadhi. Sheer determination via a very strong willpower to abandon the unwholesome thought is the fifth way. So this one is when all the first four doesn't work, then the Buddha say, you have to do it yourself. Nobody else can help you. Now all the four ways are so beautiful and yet you cannot do. So what can the Buddha do? Okay, we come back to the earlier notes. So the first way I have already explained. Now we move on to the second way. The second way to overcome unwholesome thought is much more effective and easier. The Buddha said you have to reflect and contemplate upon the danger and grave consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought, because they are the evil roots that can bring about karmic negativity. They are the root of all evil. They will make you evil. Then you have to arise the right effort to abandon this unwholesome thought. Because you see the danger, the consequence of holding on to the wrong thought. Like when you would continue to allow anger to reside in your heart, is an evil root. It's the tree poison. It will make you evil. It will poison you spiritually, kill you. So do you want that to happen? Yeah, you're lying. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. To be evil or to be non-evil is entirely your choice. And these wrong thoughts are evil roots that make you evil, cause your karma to fall, give rise to karmic negativity, condition your suffering, your misery, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation. So when you start to reflect and contemplate on the danger of holding on to this wrong thought, then you were determined to abandon it, because nobody wants to be evil. Nobody wants to be in that state of mind. Maybe the deluded one, the one that is not deluded, they will never want their mind states to have this evil root, because it will cause them a lot of misery, suffering, coming negativity, coming downfall. So you were determined to abandon them. And how to abandon them? The first way or the third and the fourth way? Then on the right hand side, I mentioned about the four right effort. So this four right effort will be very useful when you have the ability to be mindful, to be aware, then you have to use them. The first right effort is to arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. So this one, you have to put in the effort, because it's thought-based. There's a thought-based, there is effort. And if it has arisen, then you only sensitive and become mindful, then you have to do it, to abandon it. But the second right effort is different. The Buddha said the second right effort is to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising in the future. So how can you prevent it from arising? Means before you get angry, before you become emotional, selfish, fearful, you must have the ability to prevent it from arising. This one needs wisdom. This one needs mindfulness. This one needs yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So this right effort to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising requires a lot of understanding. Means you must have gone through the first right effort first. Means you are mindful, you are sensitive, you are aware, then you know how to overcome all this wrong thought. So first, think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought. Then the second way is think of the consequence, so that you will not dare to hold on to this wrong thought. Then how to abandon it? You have to go to the third way and the fourth way. The third way is about developing the understanding of what these mind states are. So the third way, the Buddha says, is the meditative way. It's very simple. Don't do anything. Just silence the mind. That's why my meditation instruction to you is very simple. Relax, maintain awareness. Silent. Don't try to do anything. And that is the third way. To train the mind by deconditioning it from the heedless thinking and grasping at sense experience. That is one of the skillful ways. Then the other way is by just being silent and maintain awareness. That is the meditative way. Without any thought, the mind will settle down on its own and return to its original state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner tranquility and stillness. So this understanding is meditation. Relax, maintain awareness. Without thought, you're already aware. And the awareness nature is your true mind, your silent mind. That one is very, very special. That one is wisdom energy that can develop the understanding. So the moment you are silent, you will come to understand that all this negativity of emotion or mind state or evil roots, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. They come and they go, and they are never you. That is, anger is not you, fear is not you, selfishness, desire, craving, they are not you. Why? Because when you just silence your mind or decondition your mind through mind-free method, combined method, when the mind becomes very quiet and peaceful, all this negative thought gone. When you just be with the anger, or be with the fear, or be with the emotion, silence everything, don't think, no more thought energy, maintain awareness. Find out for yourself. You have to do it at least once. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant and what I mean. When you are able to be silent, be with the anger or emotion or the fear, you stay there for a while. When you become skillful, it subsides very fast. Then later on, when the wisdom is there, it can't even arise. The moment it wants to move, you aware and straight away it sees. It cannot arise. But initially, you have to do it. Silence your mind, maintain awareness, be with it. Then you find out. Then after a while, you realize there is something at your heart there, especially when there is anger or fear. There is this movement. They call it the sankhara activity, born of wrong thought, wrong view. When you just silent and be with it at the heart area, you can feel that movement. Then as you stay there, maintain awareness, it slows down, and finally it subsides. Yes, you don't give it any more wrong thought energy. You just maintain awareness, which is not a wrong thought, which is sati. Sati is a spiritual faculty. When there is no more wrong thought, no more mental hindrance, sati take over. When sati take over, everything ceases. Then that pure mind, that pure awareness nature manifests. Then you realize the heart there very cooling, very still, very peaceful. The anger is gone, the fear is gone, the emotion is gone. That whatever greed or envy, jealousy or hatred or selfishness or craving and desire is gone, even lust. Stay there, fire. It's gone. Without the thought creating, projecting to wrong thought, all this mind state will cease. Then you come to realize that these are not intrinsic in our true mind. They never exist. Before you get angry, there was no anger. Before fear arise, there was no fear. Then how did it arise? It is dependent originating, condition arising. Depending on our sixth sense now, when we see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or we recall or recollect through memory something negative, then anger arises, fear arises, worry, anxiety arises. Then sometimes craving, desire arise. So it's through our senses. Then we input the content, which is wrong thought, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why we condition the arising of all this wrong thought, which are your fear, your anxiety, your emotional negativity, your craving, your desire, all this are wrong thought. Then you come to understand, without all this wrong thought, it doesn't arise. Well, when you just silence your mind, maintain awareness, it ceases. So what does that mean? It means anger, fear, emotional negativity, craving, desire, they are mind state that are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon, born of our wrong view, wrong thought. That's how it arises. So when we understand how it arises, we can develop the wisdom to reverse all this, to free our mind, to develop the wisdom. That's the reason why the Buddha said we stay or we live in the world of existence. We call it the existential world. Within our conditioned world, which is the existential world, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. There is no permanent, unchanging entity. That's why everything is anicca, dependent on condition it arises, dependent on condition it ceases. So anicca means impermanent, because things are all condition arising, dependent originating. So when condition move or changes, phenomena changes. Whatever arises changes. That's the reason why the Buddha say whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. If you understand the causes and conditions and able to accept them, and don't try to want things your way, which is against nature's way, then you will be at peace. Because like the Buddha said, when condition is set, things will go that way. That is the reality. So whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. It cannot be otherwise. So the present moment is the reality. The reality is what is, suchness. So we have to come to terms with the reality. We have to be at peace. Even that event or that condition may not be suitable or conducive for us. It may be something very negative. So what? Because there are causes and conditions behind, you must have accumulated it through past causes, which is most likely coming. Or you land yourself into such situation because you did the wrong thing. You have arisen the wrong action, the wrong speech, or the wrong thought that accumulated and give rise to all this condition. So after understanding all this, then you come to know all these wrong thoughts, they come and they go. They come and they go. So when I understand the universal characteristic, I will have to develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse all this, where I have traced this origination factor through meditation, through mindfulness, awareness. Especially when you cultivate the 6 internal sense bases and the 6 external sense bases, meditation, which is the 4th way. So the 4th way is very important. Before I go into the 4th way, I will have to finish off the 3rd way. The understanding of this dependent origination theory of Paticca-samuppada is very important. The understanding and the acceptance of the reality of all condition arising sensation and emotion at the moment of sense experience without any reaction or stirring of mind can lead to profound wisdom. So when you understand that this is a reality and you can accept the reality of the moment and be at peace, that itself requires great wisdom. It can give rise to profound wisdom, because there can be no two way. The reality is, like Krishnamurti said, truth is, the reality is. The Buddha also said, suchness. See things as they are. Thing is already the way it is. That's like the direct knowledge and vision of the truth. Having the ability to insight in the phenomena, to realize these three universal characteristics, and to be able to see things as they are, means see the reality, the truth, not what your memory or your thought perceive or tell you. So seeing things as they are, as taught by the Buddha, give rise to wisdom. No more memory, no more views, opinion, and thought process, no more analysis, rationalization. Understand, awaken, that is the reality, that is the truth. Then when you have that, then you can develop the ability to accept the reality of the moment and to be at peace with it first. When you can do that, you have clarity of mind. You do not project your thought. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no evil root. Then you maintain awareness, mindfulness. Then with that clarity of mind state, you inquire what actually happened. What can I do to overcome all this amicably so that I can move on with my life, so that I can resolve all issues or all things amicably without having to cause any karmic consequences or negativity of my states. So this is the wisdom way, the Dhamma way to do it. Then I will move on to the fourth way, which I have more or less explained just now. The fourth way, according to the Buddha, is to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. This is called the wisdom way. After you meditate the third way, then you can trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. And this one I have explained, to free the mind. That is to use the silent mind to observe. Don't do anything, just observe silent. When you are able to observe with choiceless awareness of the truth, of the reality, then you understand. You understand how you become angry, how you become fearful, how you become emotional, how you develop craving, desire, lust, and how it conditions you into evil deeds, evil action, and evil thought process. So, to trace the origination factor of the negative emotion or mind state is very easy. Because when you are mindful and you are aware, you can recollect or recall. Just now, before you saw that thing, there was no anger. Then how come upon seeing that person or that thing, through memory you recall, then you become angry, emotional, you react to it? Or before you hear that those words that somebody harshly, speak harshly, or scolded you, or accused you of something, before that hearing consciousness arise and grasps at what is being spoken, you were peaceful. You were not angry at all. Then how come after you hear, you get angry? So if you are mindful and aware and you recollect and trace back the origination factor, then you realize, hey, after I see, I recall to memory, then fear arise, phobia arise, the scars of memory recall. Or after you saw that person that you don't like, or your enemy, the hatred, the anger arise. So now you will know, you trace the origination factor to understanding that it's from the senses that arise the respective sense or consciousness, then it retrieved through memory to arise the wrong thought. And that wrong thought has the evil root. That's how it causes your mind to stir, to react, to get angry, to become emotional. So if you are mindful and aware in your daily life, you can see all this. Then you can reflect and contemplate. How can I reverse all this so that I can develop the wisdom to free my mind, to liberate my mind? So retrospectively, developing the wisdom to free your mind, you have to straighten your views. Then you contemplate, you reflect. How come I like spontaneously or like a habitual tendency, I just react to that situation. I just get angry, emotional, fearful. Then craving or lust just arise. It's not something that is intrinsic in you. It's because of your wrong view, your heedlessness, your delusion that condition you into that state. That's why they say, you are a human being. You are not an animal. Animal without the conscience and the wisdom and the understanding. That's why people cannot blame animal. That's why sometimes certain dialect in Mandarin or in Cantonese or even the English saying, this guy was like an animal. Means what? He behaved like an animal, he's not a human being. So if you are a human being, you have the intellect, the wisdom and the understanding, and you have the sensitivity, you will never do all these things because it's against your conscience. So this understanding is very important. So you tell yourself, next time when I see this person or saw such incident, or hear the wrong speech or negativity of speech, or recall to memory, the scars of memory and all those things, how can I not react like before? How can I reverse all this so that this habitual tendency can be rooted out, cease to be? To do that, you need wisdom. You need to reflect. You need to contemplate. You need to develop understanding. So all this is not easy, actually. Not easy. What I have done was, through my past cultivation practice and wisdom developed from the past, that's why this life when I come, when I read this, I straight away know what the solution is, the answer is. How to straighten my view, how to reverse all this negative habitual tendency and root it out. For me, it's very straightforward, very easy. That's why I taught you all the ultimate understanding. But if you can reflect and contemplate and come out with your own understanding and realize it, it will be a lot better. But I realize it's not easy for normal people. It's like people always say, Pratio, at that moment when that fellow did that to me, I cannot control. My anger was so intense. I just feel like whacking him and kill him or finish it off. How can you become like that, so violent and all those things? Because of emotion, anger, delusion, the evils. But they can never understand. Then they will ask you, you mean that guy that did all these things, my enemy and all things, you asked me to ask for forgiveness from him. That bastard did all, they use this word, you know, bastard and all this very strong language. Because they lack understanding, they don't understand. They don't have the Dhamma wisdom to look at anatta, non-self, empty nature. And they don't understand wrong view, evil roots. So the only way to do it is to straighten our view. And what view do you have or can you have to allow you to do that. It's not easy if I have not told you all before. But the moment I share with you all can laugh. You all find it so easy. Yeah, you can quote me. The brother used to say, he is the way he is. Let things be. The world is the world. Condition like that, things be like that. That's why an angry person will do angry things. A violent person will do violent things. Selfish person do selfish things. Deluded person do deluded things. The world is the world. Condition like that, things be like that. Suchness. Ta-ta-ta. And when you understand all this, you realize, hey, this is beautiful. Yeah. If I can accept him for what he is, it doesn't mean I agree with his way of doing things or his action. I only have the wisdom to accept him for what he is. Then I can be at peace. Well, I don't want to end up like him, deluded, heedless, developing all the anger, the evil roots, the hatred, the emotion, the craving, the desire. So all this, when you understand, you can reverse all this. That's why straighten your view to accept things as they are, to see things as they are, to be at peace with all things, with all situations. Then you act. Act with what? Act with wisdom. Following Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you can resolve issues amicably. You can speak in a very nice, pleasant, gentle, and useful way, appropriate way. Right thought leading to right speech, right action. Then live your life in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is how you act. After you straighten your view, you act. When you straighten your view, you can be at peace. That is the initial wisdom. That is the fourth way, retrospectively reversing. Then you have traced the origination factor. You know how it arises. It arises through the senses, sense door activity. And the most powerful sense door are your seeing, your hearing, and your thought process. Taste and the other one is what? Taste and sensation. Eh? Yeah. They are not so serious. they are easier to deal with. Eh? Smell. Taste, smell, and sensation. They are easier to deal with. They are not something very bad or very serious. Like when you smell something pungent or smelling nothing, it's just a reaction. But even that you can train. You can develop the wisdom. I remember I tested it during the early days of my cultivation. I was so mindful, aware. Then the daily mindfulness was so stable. I remember I used to test it when I go to Pasamalam. All the very fragrant and nice food. Then sometimes the flower, the fruits. And there are a lot of nice things, especially food related. Then I happened to walk there and I passed by one place where during the early days the drain, they I think didn't have good drainage or not enough clean water flush through. So it developed that type of foul smell from the manhole and the drain. So when you pass by, you can actually sense that smell, the pungent. But the wisdom suddenly arises. I just smile and endure, because the reality is, when I am nearby, when my nose is sensitive, I will pick it up, and that smell consciousness will arise. Then when I smell, I have this habit. We tend to prefer nice smell, fragrant smell. But this type of pungent, normally we reject and resist. But then, at that time, when I was aware, I straight away able to be at peace with it. Then I laugh. Then I tell myself, as long as nearby, there is condition, it will arise. And when it arises, I have two choices. React to it and develop the negativity of my state. Accept it and be at peace and move on with joy, with happiness. But that is the reality. It's just like he is the way he is. Condition like that, things be like that. That's how I overcome it. That's how I develop the understanding. Then if you have the understanding really, you will try to avoid such places because you stay there too long. The pollutant and all those things, sometimes it can be harmful to your body. So you develop the understanding and you leave, you move on, and everything becomes beautiful. Then when it comes to the nice smell and the nice flavor, my mindfulness was so sensitive. When it comes in, I can smell it, I know it's good food, no problem. If there is condition to buy, if I have the money, if I need the food or what, I will buy. I will not resist. But I will not be drawn by it, understand? Like the craving make me crave for it and all those things. No. That's why I tested many of all this. Then during those times, my daily mindfulness was very, very stable. Of course, before the mundane mind collapse, that's why I can put to test. And I can see all this. Yeah. That's also the reason why I always advise Kayamita. If you know your wisdom has developed and you are progressing, you are going through these stages and phases, then later on you will transform. You keep on transforming until finally your mundane mind collapse and your pure nature or awareness shine forth. Then during that time, it's not easy for you to remember what happened. That's why, because when I went through that, I went through everything very fast. Within 9 months, everything happened. And luckily, I can recollect through mindfulness and awareness what this thing is. That's why I can teach, I can share, is because I have that ability. And sometimes I need to write down in the early days some notes so that when I read the notes, I can recall the causes and conditions and I can remember what happened. So all this understanding is very useful. This is to help people. For me, or for those people who go through it, you don't have to remember anything technically. Because technically, all this understanding is already inside you. It can never be lost. It will continue to exist with this form of mind. But after this form of mind is gone, that wisdom doesn't follow you. Your nature will accumulate it. It will be part of your nature. So that spiritual nature that accumulated it, for you to tap from it or inherit from it, in future when you come with another form of mind, you need to meditate to connect to that nature again before you can inherit. And that is the peculiar thing about spiritual nature. Whereas karmic nature, no need. The moment you are born, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, straight away, karma come and contact you. The karmic nature, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. But the Buddha never say all this when it comes to spiritual nature. Yeah. It's not like karma, karmic nature. So spiritual nature, my nature realized, you can only tap or receive when you meditate and connect to that nature. You only inherit after you have realized the true mind, the silent mind. That's why you must meditate, awareness-based meditation. Otherwise, you cannot inherit. You cannot develop the understanding and the wisdom. So this understanding is very important. That's how the right view comes about. So tracing the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it, that sentence looks simple but very difficult to develop the understanding. And luckily, because of my past, I was able to develop all this understanding that I share with you all, so that you don't have to waste time looking for the answer, tracing for the answer. That is not easy. Yeah. Unless you can unravel the deep meaning of the Buddha's teaching, like whatever he say, see things as they are. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Just based on that statement, how can you understand if I don't explain? It's not easy. So all this is not easy. Even the universal characteristic, rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankara anicchang, sankara anatta, viyanang anicchang, viyanang anatta. That's why I put it in the Bodhisattva vow, that yellow sheet. All this right view you must have, so that life after life, when you come with this right view, right understanding, you will know how to meditate, you will know how to cultivate, you will know how to develop clear understanding of this teaching, the Dhamma. So this is how these five ways is to be developed and understood. We will continue. So after the fourth way, I have to read this part. Trace the origination factor of the negative thought or wrong thought or mind state, and then reverse it retrospectively. We are straightening one's view based on what I have explained to you. Then train the cultivator to develop the true understanding via mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases to arise the third turning wisdom of bhavana maya panya. So this one, when you are mindful and aware of your internal sense bases and the external sense bases. The external sense bases are the sense data of the respectively sensed or consciousness. So when the two interact, it trigger off the respective sense of consciousness, like seeing. In the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see as yet. But because you are mindful, you are aware, then you can see what happened. Before you input the content of consciousness, you can see things as they are. Thing is just the way it is. Neither this nor that. No views, no opinion, no conditioning, nothing. Just suchness, the reality. But the moment you input your content of consciousness before you become enlightened, then that wrong view, that opinion, that conditioning, the belief system, the habitual tendency, they come in. That's how they stir your mind. That's how they cause you to react to sense experience. So when you can see all those things, you will know how to retrospectively reverse it. That's why that meditation under mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhamma Nupassana, the third category, mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, is to develop the fourth way. You cannot have the stability of daily mindfulness to do that. You cannot develop the wisdom and the understanding. So this is how you develop it. Then under the Dhammanupassana, I highlighted all the practices. So initially, the first category of cultivation under Dhammanupassana is to be mindful of the five mental hindrance. You have to be mindful or aware to see how they arise, the mental hindrance. Usually through the three major sense doors of seeing, hearing, and thinking. Then retrospectively reverse it via wisdom to understand how the arisen mental hindrance is to be by just being aware. When you are just aware, don't do anything, it ceases to be. That is how you understand. Because you continue to develop mindfulness and awareness, then you realize all these evil roots, the greed, the hatred, the delusion, the anger, the emotion, the fear, the craving, they arise and they pass away. They are dependent originating. They come and they go. So by understanding how they arise, dependent originating, then by not doing anything, the mental hindrances, licentious desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and finally doubt. When you are restless because you have fear, worry, anxiety, what must you do? Relax, aware, silent, be with it. Then it ceases. That's how you meditate. And when it ceases, you develop wisdom, understanding that they are dependent originating, condition arising. Fear is not you. Anger is not you. They are not intrinsic in your true nature or true mind. They are external, dependent originating, arising through wrong view. Then to counter the mental hindrance, we are cultivating the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. You will realize that the mental hindrance ceases. So through cultivating the opposite five, you can cease the mental hindrance. Then when the mental hindrance ceases, you will come to know how in the future this mental hindrance will no longer arise. So this is how you straighten your view to develop the understanding. So mental hindrance, when you lack the spiritual faculty, they arise. They make you heedless. That's why they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner. That's why you cannot meditate. So to meditate, cultivate the spiritual faculty. Before that, use the third way. Just relax and maintain awareness and let it settle down to develop the wisdom to straighten your view. So in the Satipatthana Sutta, it's also mentioned when you are able to do that, mindful of the five mental hindrances, then you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, where you have traced the origination factor. Then you will also come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance is to be, just by not doing anything. The meditative way, the third way, the way it sits. Then after you reflect and contemplate, or you go through the fourth way, develop the wisdom, straighten your view, to retrospectively reverse it, then you start to understand how in the future there is no more condition for the arising of the mental hindrance. That's how the Satipatthana Sutta can be understood. It's all clearly mentioned in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. You can even read it out. Then the next one is mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. See how the five mental aggregate comes to be. See how that it is condition arising, hence impermanent, suffering, and non-self or empty nature. You can see them. When you're silent, you know. Contact, condition, feeling, emotion, perception. So they are dependent originating. Without contact, without the senses, without the consciousness, they cannot arise. Then when they arise, like feeling, perception, mind states or sankhara, emiyana, they come and they go, they come and they go. Then you come to a very profound understanding. How can feeling be me? If feeling is me, when feeling changes or ceases, I should die with it, but I didn't die. So feeling is impermanent, come and go, dependent originating. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's anatta, non-self. That if I attach and cling, it gives rise to suffering. Where this is wrong view, you crave, you desire, you attach to those feelings, the five aggregates of form and mind. They are impermanent, empty, non-self. So do not be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. You grasp and cling and hold, believing that feeling is you, you suffer. You believe perception is real, you suffer. You believe that anger, the hatred, the emotion is real, is you, you suffer. You believe all these views, opinion, or sankara activity, or all the various mind state that you hold on to is real, you suffer. You believe in all the consciousness that arise, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness as real, belonging to you, you suffer. That's why the five grasping aggregate condition suffering, upadana khandas. So all this you will see very clearly in the meditation. The five aggregate of form and mind. See how you deludedly grasp, cling, and attach to them via self-delusion or scarcity. How you cling on to feeling. Because when you attach to feeling, what happens? You want pleasant feeling. You don't want unpleasant feeling. So what happens? You create the first two mental hindrances. Whatever you want, the pleasant feeling, is sensual desire. Whatever you don't want, this time, is ill will. The first two mental hindrances connected to the evil roots of greed and hatred. You will see it because you are mindful. That's why you cannot attach, you cannot cling, you cannot grasp. Feeling come and go. How can it be you? Feeling is dependent originating. The analogy that the Buddha gave is like a bubble, pop, gone, pop, gone. Then why do you hold? Why do you crave for nice feeling, pleasant feeling? Of course, society now have this ability to have very advanced scientific development that can give rise to very pleasant or conducive for the senses type of instrument or development, like aircon and all those things. It can make life so much better. Like when you are having a tired day, or when you sweat, or what. Then you can have a bath, then you can deep in the jacuzzi, or after you clean out everything, you come out, you can have aircon, you feel good. So the craving for the senses has been advanced, enhanced. So the Buddha never say you cannot have all this. You can have like good food, but do not crave, do not cling, do not attach. When there is condition to have, you can afford, you have the means, have it. Nothing wrong. But when you don't have the condition, do not be afflicted by it. Do not be miserable. That means don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp. Understand them for what they are. They are existential reality. They are subject to the three universal characteristics, dependent originating. So when there is condition to have, to own, you can. But do not attach and cling. Do not believe that they belong to you, like this body, this physical body form. Then the feeling, the emotion inside, the perception, the sankhara, and the consciousness that arise within this form and mind. Do not be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. The form and mind is useful. It's a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate, to do what you want to do, to go through karma, everything. But they are just vehicle and tool to serve you. So do not attach and cling. Do not grasp. Like this physical body, if you grasp and cling, believing that it's real, it's you, then you worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. That's how suffering comes to be. Likewise, all the other aggregates of mind is the same. See in the meditation, reflect, contemplate, and awaken. the universal characteristics are not difficult to comprehend. It's very easy, actually. When you understand, when you see it in the meditation through your mindfulness, the direct seeing, the universal characteristic, when you insight into phenomena, you will have penetrative understanding. The third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of bhavana, the meditative training. Okay, now we go to the next one. Mindfulness of the six external and six internal sense bases. When you have understood what these five aggregates of form and mind are, and you have developed the stability of sati to be aware of them, then you can trace the origination factor via the mindfulness of the six external and six internal sense bases cultivation to see clearly how the external sense data upon contact of mind with mind and their respective internal sense bases trigger off the respective sense door consciousness and its related mental activity via the dwelling of paticca-samuppada. You're supposed to see the dependent origination, how you input the content of consciousness. See how, due to wrong view, your mind stirs easily. When you contemplate and reflect, you will realize that if you don't do anything via right view, to see things as they are, it will naturally cease to be. So this one is very important. You must see how, due to wrong view, your mind stirs easily. You can do that, you develop wisdom. Then when you contemplate and reflect, you will realize that if you don't do anything via right view, means when you have right view to see things as they are, everything will just cease. The third way. Then mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, the next category of cultivation is, you have to refer to the four foundations of mindfulness for further detail. Then mindfulness of the four noble truths, this is very easy. Refer to the four foundations of mindfulness sutta for further detail. Actually, in the sutta, there is not much. It just taught you mindfulness of the four noble truths, but no elaboration, no teaching. Actually, you have to go into the three turnings of the four noble truths. Then reversing it retrospectively, this is key. So the key here is the silent mind. Without the silent mind, you cannot see, you cannot develop the straightening of view, you cannot develop the wisdom. So a silent mind can trace all the origination factor to develop the much needed wisdom, yoniso manasakara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, to retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. As per the Satipatthana Sutta, you will come to know how the unarisen fetters or mental hindrance come to be. Then you will come to understand how the arisen fetters or mental hindrance cease to be. So all this is in the sutta. So the fifth way I have gone through. Okay, we end. So we finish. We will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting.
Amitabha to Radio and all the Kayanamitas. Okay, what shall I talk about? Okay, today I'll talk about the Dhamma in daily life.
Oh, good. That will be very useful. Sadhu.
Actually, since Brother Sian talked about the death of friends, right? A week ago or something like that, I think. It kind of prompted me to think about not about other people's death, friends' death, but my own family death and my own death, you know.
Sadhu. That is very
usually when we hear about other people's death, we don't feel so much affected. But if you feel, if you think about your own family, especially your close family, and even your spouse or your children, it will be very, very dramatic kind of...
traumatic, true.
Yes. So it's very traumatic. So how do we prepare myself for such eventuality, you know?
Very good.
So, it kind of make me think about it, you know, like what kind of preparation I need. Because as Brother Suyan and Brother Theo share, you know, you have to do things like how to make your life without your close one, you know.
You have
to move on. To move on, what are the things that you need in order to move on, you know? You know, things like that. So how do you prepare yourself or your family members, you know, when something like that happened, you know?
Yes.
So it's like, you have to prepare for yourself and others, you know, not just listening and then say, oh yeah, very, very true, you know, the kind of thing. But after that, you forget about it, you know? Happens to you,
panic.
Correct. Somehow you will panic if you didn't do anything.
You have to prepare yourself. True. What you have understood is very good.
So I have to like prepare myself, you know, I must go and learn how to take care of the accounting, the finance, how much expenses I use, you know, that kind of thing. Without the person, let's say if it's not done by you, somebody else in the family do, then when the person is gone, then the whole expenses are you know, credit and debit,
financial situation affects.
You do not know how much money you spend per month, you know,
electricity. And the fear will arise. They project. They say, what am I going to do? My spouse, who is the breadwinner, no more.
Very simple thing like, very simple thing like electricity bill, water bill, your telephone bill, your grocery bill, you know, like per month, how much do you spend? Oh, your goodness, I don't know, you know, that kind of thing. Let's say you don't know, you better go and find out, you know. Then how do you make sure that your end meets, you know?
Then how you pay your car
insurance. In and out must balance. So all these things you need to know, you know. Then whether you have enough money to live or whatever lifespan you think that you can you know, exist, you know, let's say average lifespan of, let's say, 80 years old, for example, you know, that kind of thing. So you have to prepare for yourself and for your family members as well, you know.
Very true.
It's not simple, it's not simple, but
not so simple, not so straightforward. That's why nowadays society, they have become more sophisticated too. So there is such thing as trauma therapy. You heard of that, isn't it? People going through trauma. There are certain courses where you can study, you know, to be a trauma therapy specialist who attend to people who are affected, very traumatically affected their life. And it's not easy to deal with such people. That's why they are trained in certain understanding. Then, like you mentioned just now, financial planning. Nowadays, a lot of people try to develop their own financial planning so that they have enough to actually last them. So nowadays, there are more of this facilities that you can actually depend on to plan your whatever life. In the past, all these were not there. Then I think technically, scientifically, civilization were more backward. There were not much understanding. So what you mentioned about preparing yourself to have all this understanding to confront your own possibility of form and mind separating and also your loved one, because they are your really close one. And when it happens, it can be quite traumatic when you are not ready. But for you, with the Dhamma, you got no problem. You will have no problem. Then like the solution I provide is, you have to... Yeah, you continue. You want to share something?
Yes, Ratio, even though we have the Dhamma, we have no problem, but we still have to do some simple, I mean not say simple, but some basic
others.
Planning.
Yeah, yeah, for others. Yes.
Yeah, some planning and understanding.
Yeah, you can actually help out in many ways. Like what I did for my sister, you remember? The younger sister, the two sisters where the husband passed away. Quite young, I think. One of them is, I think both also about 50 plus. So a lot of people, when they are caught in such situation, they become very traumatically affected. So you must be able to understand them, then calm them down, provide them with the faith, the comfort, the what they call understanding to move on. Otherwise, their thought will straight away project the fear, the worry, the anxiety. Like my sister, one of them, she is not working, dependent on your husband. Then suddenly the husband just passed away. Then with 4 or 5 kids, I remember, they are still very small. And the eldest one is only that time about after form 5, I think going to form 6 or tertiary education. So all this need financing, need money. Then they don't even own a house. They will stay with their in-laws. So that time a lot of fear. That's why you have good brothers and sisters, close family friends who can attend to you and who can help you to calm you down and let you understand and move on. That is very useful. That's why I apply the Dhamma way to help her. I straight away calm her down. That emphasize the importance of having that will to live on, because out of love and compassion, not only for her, the children need her more than anything else during this time. And I told her, I understand your fear, where you project, what are you going to do? You are a housewife, you don't have skills, you never worked before. But don't worry, we will see to all this. As far as money is concerned, you don't have to worry. We will plan for you, we will help you. Then we will help you develop the ways to earn a living, to move on with your life. Then do what you have to do. You need to prepare for the funeral, prepare. Then after that, plan for your future, plan. We will help you. So that calm her down and give her the faith, the understanding and the assurance that really transform the situation. And from that traumatic experience that she went through, she was able for the first time to see light and possibility of having brothers and sisters who sincerely willing to come forward and help. Also because of her good karma. Otherwise, all these things cannot happen. Not every family have good brothers and sisters who are very sincere and close. And that I remember, all my brothers and sisters, they actually agree with what I suggest, and we just do our part and we resolve everything. And it turned out finally to be a blessing in disguise. And she gave back her good life, the happy life, and she was able to be financially independent also. Then we also helped her to sort out the insurance claim, the EPF claim, and also help her to buy a house for her own children's need. So that house that we helped her to source was very good. It's quite near my youngest brother's place, and the area is quite a flourishing area and quite a good place. In that time, she managed to buy that, I think, semi-D with some land, single story in Alostar. That time was cheap. That time I remember in Alostar, it was cheaper. She bought for about 290 plus, I remember. Single story, but semi-D. Quite a nice house, not too far away from the city, about 3 kilometers away, I think. So that's how it can be done and resolved, because my nature has the Dhamma and the understanding, and it's sensitive. It understands what are the immediate mind state of people who go through all this traumatic thing, and also karma, everything. I explained to her many things. Then we get a lot of things resolved. So this is how it can be done. So for you, when you have this understanding, is because you have the Dhamma. You know it's not for you, but more for these people. That's why you can equip yourself with those understanding. Then you can plan for people. You can really be a blessing to them. So later on, you can also help others. Then depending on the condition and the situation, you will know how to manifest and share accordingly. And as you experience all this, as you start to do more of this work, you will also become skillful at what you do. And when you develop the experience, you can really be a beautiful blessing in disguise, person with the Dhamma to help others. Then you can really help others in many ways. So sadhu to you, Poche, you can continue.
Sorry, Ratio, just now my Wi-Fi connection disrupted, actually.
Oh, it's okay, we can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, but I can't hear
Oh, you mean in between when I was explaining the thing? Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I cannot hear, so I have to disconnect.
I actually went through the explanation of how I helped my younger sister, that went through the traumatic thing. Because she is without job, she never worked for people before. And she depended on the husband. Then when the husband passed away at the age of 50 plus, suddenly left with 4 or 5 children, all still very young. She was in a state of shock, too. And luckily, I came to know about it. I went back and helped out and really calm her down and give her understanding and hope, the Dhamma way, and of course some worldly understanding of how to cope with the reality of the First Noble Truth and separation from loved ones. Not easy. So the reason why I pass back to you is because I say I rejoice with your understanding that you need to actually reflect, contemplate, and prepare yourself with this understanding so that you can help others. Where you have the Dhamma, for you is no problem. Then you can be a blessing to all when you have this understanding. And as you try to help and go through all this, you will become more and more skillful. Okay? So you have anything else to add?
Yes, thank you, Varathio. Yeah, I think so. By doing the reflection and contemplation, we prepare ourselves and also our family members and loved ones. Yeah. Because actually there are quite a bit of things to do, you know, especially in the financial side. Especially like, for example, if you have children, then they will, let's say, inherit your stocks, right? So what do they do with it? You know, right. Because this stock market example, I also learning, you know, the change of merging and a change of ownership whatsoever, very complicated.
Yeah, proper proposal. That's why you must have a good reminder. Or a good merchant banker or
So all these need understanding and someone that can help, you know, to know what to do, example. Huh?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm. So all this can be a headache if you have no knowledge at all, you know.
That's why you need to have Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends can introduce you to people who have the understanding.
Correct. So you have to learn some basic things as well in terms of investment as well, you know.
Correct.
So especially when they inherit such things, right? They need to know what to do with it.
Yeah. How to do up the will, the grant, the letter administration, then how to pay your EPS or your Singapore side ACPN, then how to claim the insurance and all those things. It has to be sorted out.
Correct. All this must be sorted out and all this must be put in a safe place where they can retrieve it when the time comes, you know.
Correct,
So all this must be notified in the sense, you know.
What is important is the letter that come, don't throw away. You open up every letter. Now, all these letters, they can lead you, provide you with a lot of leads. Sometimes they will buy some investment like unit trust or certain type of bond. Then once a year only they send a statement. Sometimes it can be like in Malaysia, the ASN, ASB, all those things. Normally also can buy. So when you receive those letters, it's a lead, means the person, the deceased, must have such investment, otherwise the newsletter won't come. Then the corporate proposal, like you say, they will usually send the what they call to shareholder. Useful lead. So these are advice that people need. Then sometimes the CDS annual statement, if their account is not active, they only receive either 6 monthly or once a year. Otherwise, if you got any letter from the investment bank or broker, you must go and trace them, talk to the investment bank. Their computer system can trace very fast, very easily. I know about this because I'm in this line. So I have some experience. What you said is very true. Yes, you need to know many things. Not easy. Okay, Bojack?
Yes, thank you, Radio, and Boris Yuan for bringing up that topic that is very useful. For every one of us, because every day we are aging, you know, growing older.
Correct. Dhamma in daily life, we have to confront old age, sickness and death, separation and all those things. And these are realities of life and existence. And they do happen.
Correct. So I find it very useful that topic here.
Yeah.
A lot of things to do, so I'm still learning as well.
Good.
Thank you very much.
You can help people. So let us rejoice with what Pocheng has shared. Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Yeah. Oh,
very good. Yes, Christina.
Yeah, Brother Teo.
So it's you. I was thinking.
Because I don't know how to find the button to.
No problem. My daughter helped you to unmute just now.
Good evening, everyone.
Nice to hear from you again.
Nothing much from my side, but I felt I'm very blessed every day. During this MCO time, I do have a number of works.
Good. Very good.
I'm counting my blessing every day.
Sadhu. That's good karmic blessing.
I think the cultivation have to be done daily. We cannot taolan.
Taolan, correct. you cannot be like lazy, yeah, lazy.
Yeah. And then making the puja, yes, diligent, the aspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Today I put up the 4 pages over there.
Yeah. The vow, the big vow, very important.
Strengthen our faith.
Towards where
we are going to.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
sometimes maybe if let's say the faith is not how to say the faith is not strengthened or enough, then sometimes I find that some of the people also might get lost, they don't know where they are
shooting. You cannot progress well if your faith sada is not strong. Sada is very important. It was sada that drive a lot of cultivator. For me also in the early day, my faith was very strong. The faith in the Buddha and his teaching, my teachers, whom I know, they are good. So the faith, very different. When I have the faith, I understand their words, their teaching. They are so beautiful. So faith is the most important spiritual faculty. Saddha will lead to virya. What you say is very true, yes.
I think there's about I think a few of my friends just asking. I think they have elderly people at home, so what they face is I think they're having dementia.
That one is another very traumatic type of
so they tell me. No doubt they are also Dharma cultivators.
Not easy to cope.
Looking after a baby.
When I was young, I saw this. My mother got a very close friend, like good family friend, also both from China, Hakka. Then their children and our children, they are almost same age. We have 9, they also have 8 or 9. So big family, then very close. So when she aged, she developed dementia. Then at the age of 80 something, the children has problem. The daughter-in-law has problem looking after her. Because she cannot even understand what is going on. Sometimes you want to bathe her. While you doing the bathing, once you go and do something else and ask her to wait, she will just walk out of the house without clothing like that, old lady.
That's why they felt very stressful.
And every time I have to monitor her like 24 hours. Then feed her. Then some night after feeding her, he will still complain. I haven't eaten. Where is my dinner? When can I have my dinner? Actually, just taken. They cannot remember. Then they go out. They don't know how to come back. A lot of things they cannot remember, especially new things.
But does this all due to karmic?
Partly, but sometimes it's more towards the physical changes. Changes. As you age, you will experience all this, but karmic has a role. Karmic has a role. So if you have the good blessing and the good karma, your genes, your DNA, when they come, normally you don't go through all this. Like my parents, they live until very old. They don't have all these problems. Yeah. My mother also don't have. But all this, you must understand, is part of nature. So dealing with such thing like dementia or what is not easy. So sometimes if it's coming, is because when there is condition for this thing to manifest in that person, so it's related to karmic. Because like in the past, if they have care for people and all those things when they grow old and give attention sincerely. Then when they themselves develop this, they will have children who look after them or send them to proper homes and place. But if you have not, then it's actually pitiful. You will have children who try to, like, don't want to keep you. They try to, like pass around and send to all the brothers and sisters. Then nobody want to take care of them. Then not easy. But my dad, particular relative in that case, she was lucky because she's a very kind lady. She sacrificed a lot when looking after the children, like my mother. She is a very kind lady. Never get angry. But when she grew old, she developed the dementia. And the children love her so much. That's why the daughter-in-law also endure and stand up to help, try to help her. Then the daughter also, although married, they still come back to look after her and try to cheer her up, talk to her and all those things. So this is part and parcel of old age, sickness and death. The first noble truth, reality. Sometimes we can do our part, but quite limited because it's mainly karmic. But they are immediate children, they can do something. They can invoke power, merits, and all those things. The other thing that I found out is when you have mindfulness and awareness, you don't worry because the awareness and the mindfulness can help you in those cases. You don't depend so much on the brain. The one that depends a lot on the brain, when the aging comes, no more growth hormone, no more those new cells, memory cells. So new things, they tend to forget. Then sometimes, certain part of the brain, after they deteriorate, they lost their ability to actually trigger off that type of memory. Then sometimes they also develop dementia because of that. But now, I think, there's a lot of study on this field. So people are trying to find ways to improve. One of them is I was told, I don't know whether true or not, they say, take coconut oil. Is it coconut oil? I remember last time my wife showed me the video, coconut oil, good for the men's. Maybe you can ask Sui-an. Sui-an is good at this type of thing. So if coconut oil can, because it seems it was an Australian old man, the wife gave him coconut oil and he recovered. So you can try some of this, no harm, because since they are in that state, so no harm trying all this.
Okay,
you can advise them, Christina.
Yeah, okay. Sadhu,
thank you so much.